we hope the world is better for you because it sure is fucked up in our time. Ron and Brian, December 1976.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 92 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the surprise host of this Sunday night's Oscars, Brian. Brian, how goes it today?
I'm on cloud nine.
You should be.
It's my favorite time of the week. I get to look at your pretty face. I get to hear your wonderful voice. I get to share the warmth of your existence. No complaints here.
All right, fantastic. Well, we'll get moving right into it then. As you know, last week, Drink of the Week, sponsored by Corona. Apparently, they were a little bit offended by our use of the Ivanka Trump voting systems. So they have pulled off their sponsorship. So now it's just back to an unsponsored Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
На здоровье!
Drink of the week.
Sláinte.
Pause.
Drink of the week. Drink of the
so
week.
This past week's poll put up a vodka tonic against vodka and soda. As our listeners know, we have had some challenges with our vote counts over the past few weeks. Brian took it upon himself to purchase those Ivanka Trump voting machines that we tried to use the previous week without much success. Another challenge this past week, as you know, we did have a sponsorship with the Trump 2020 campaign a few weeks back. The check ended up bouncing, but not before we had already spent that sweet, sweet sponsorship money. So we ended up getting these the Ivanka Trump voting machines recalled because our check bounced. Kind of poetic justice when you think about it. And then, you know, mistake on my part, I have to take the heat this week, purchase this app called the Shadow app, which I felt would be, the most secure way for people to vote and, get things on track again. And, turns out it did not. We still do not have verifiable results of the drink of the week. I went out and I spoke to some people, took an informal poll on the street. And so therefore I am officially declaring the winner as Kettle One, grapefruit and rose vodka with a little grapefruit seltzer, mixed with it. So cheers to you.
One thing there's actually two things I'd like to say. First is I do not blame yourself for what happened with the Shadow app. The presentation, you know, they came in and sold us on the idea that this was going to be the best use of modern technology to tabulate votes. They said, you know, they had some very good connections. They used the name Hilaria Clintonia quite a few times. You know, it carries a lot of weight with us. It really felt as if this was going to be the best way to tabulate the worldwide voters that we receive for our drink of the week. You made the recommendation. I said, you know what? I agree with you. This is the place to go. So I don't want you to blame yourself.
I mean, I felt success was in our taillights and, now, you know, we go back to the drawing board and try and figure out a really appropriate way to collect the votes for Drink of the Week. But if nothing else, I have mixed myself up a delightful little cocktail here.
What concerns me here is the fact that is that the two nominees were vodka tonic and a vodka soda, and then you went out and made yourself a third drink.
Well, I feel in a way this is a vodka soda. I mean, it is a grapefruit soda mixer mixed with vodka, despite the fact that vodka may have grapefruit and rose undertones to it.
Have you ever used grapefruit for romantic purposes?
I have not. I would think that would sting a bit. Citrus to me would probably burn the pee hole.
It seems like the kind of thing that kids on the internet are doing now for likes.
They probably rub some grapefruit on their taint before going to sun their perineum.
Jesus, that would be a terrible move. I myself stuck to the rules of the Drink of the Week poll. I made myself a vodka tonic using America's favorite vodka, Tito's.
Should we, I mean, we are influencers on Instagram and on social media in general. Should we try and get people to actually go out and sun their perineum after they've rubbed it down with a sliced grapefruit?
I'm going to tell you why that's a terrible idea, Ron.
why
is
that?
It was not that long ago where I tried to sun my perineum. I went out into
Sequoia National Forest, I believe.
That was but I laid up in one of those redwoods, took off my pants, my underpants, kept the socks on. That's my move. And laid down on my back, lifted my legs up behind my head. It was emotionally, it was a challenging position to get into, but I gave myself a good 15 minutes of sun right there on the perineum. Sent me to the hospital.
I think the challenge was the length of time. I think just a quick grapefruit scented sunning of the perineum. I think we try and get that trending over the next week.
So you're saying I should not have used, I can't believe this is not butter.
Probably not your best move.
Because I slathered it all over my balls, taint, chest, tits, and ass.
Most definitely not a good idea. Well, regardless, we've got some good drinks. I mean, vodka is always a good choice. But we also now have our Tavor crafted boxes in hand, both of us. So we do have some beers that we will be putting up against one another. I don't think we've decided what they're going to be for the coming week. But we will definitely figure out a legitimate poll to get up on our Facebook and Twitter pages to have you folks vote.
I think the challenge here is not the type of drink we're going to have, but how can we maintain the accuracy and the integrity of our Drink of the Week poll?
But if you want integrity, let's talk about the good folks at Tavor, always giving you a fantastic selection of beers to put together a crate, get it shipped to your house for one flat, low shipping price. And Brian, if people wanted to go to Tavor.com, download the app, and sign up, is there a referral code that you can shoot out their way so that they can get $10 off their order?
The fine folks at Tavor reached out to us and said, hey, Ron and Brian, here is your Tavor code, 525401. That's T-A-V-O-U-R in your mobile devices, App Store. Download Tavor, sign up, register, use the promo code 525401. And you will be letting the kind folks at Tavor know that Ron and Brian are important players in the world of internet craft beer drinking.
All right, so keep an eye out on our Facebook and Twitter page for our upcoming Drink of the Week poll, or as always, just go to ronandbrianpodcast.com with links to all of our social media.
This week in
Racism.
So kind of a shock this past week. Professor Shaheen Borna knocked off two-time defending champion Patricia Zammit 56% to 44%. She goes to the bench with two wins, hoping that her performance was strong enough to get her maybe a 3 or 4 seed when we get to the end of the year Racism Madness tournament. Shaheen moving on, looking for win number 2. Very rare that we see the non-audio contestants get a win. We saw it with Ethan Kozak in the regular season and almost in the postseason last year. Shaheen coming in with a slight margin of victory. You had predicted it would go the other way. Thoughts on the results this week?
Shocking. I think, you know, as you said it earlier, non-audio candidates for Racist of the Week really are walking into the poll at a disadvantage. It is one leg tied behind their back. It is one arm handcuffed to the roof of a cop car. It is being covered in blackface when you walk in to a Baptist church. I mean, it really is sitting there saying to yourself, you know, I'm up for the challenge, but I'm probably going to take an L on this one. Shaheen Borna not making that happen. Anytime you've got a university professor who is so racist that he's going to call the police when a African-American student in his class refuses to change his seat, listen, it spoke to the people. The people heard it. They sat there. Actually, they didn't hear it. Quite ironic use of that word. But they, you know, they recognize real racism when it's elevated to that level. And clearly, when you're just using text and that overcomes an actual bona fide audio clip, Shaheen Borna, I tip my cap to you.
And Shaheen has some stiff competition this week, as we do have another contender with some audio to go along with it. A white parent attending a school board meeting for Saline School District in Saline, Michigan, made racist comments towards other parents during this meeting. Tom Bertel interrupted a father who was telling about how his Hispanic son was being bullied by asking him why he left Mexico.
This.
Oh, I already played that one. Maybe I should hit the right one.
Why did you stay in Mexico?
Clearly the crowd not a fan of that comment. He then also went on to make a comment about being white in a black neighborhood.
Try being white and walk in a black neighborhood, see what happens.
So I'm not exactly sure what he implied, but I get the impression he was implying it's not a good idea to be white and go into a black neighborhood. Ironically, I think this is what kind of maybe puts this over the top a little bit. This specific meeting was being held to address a recent incident where white students at the Saline High School had a racist Snapchat group targeting three black students at the school. So you're going to a meeting specifically called because your kids are being racist, and then you decide to be racist as well. Thoughts on this week's matchup between Tom Bertel and Shaheen Borna?
I think Tom's bringing some smoke. I don't know how much heat there is. This one, I'm going to say, is a toss-up. Would not be shocked if Shaheen rolls in to his third week.
All right. Well, as always, you, the fans, decide who the worst of the worst is. Also, go to Facebook and Twitter. We will have our This Week in Racism polls up. You can let us know if Shaheen deserves to be a two-time winner or if Tom can matriculate to being a This Week in Racism champion. We're going to keep moving on with our Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
There's something bothering me, and I don't know exactly the best way to describe it.
I guess just let's talk through it and see if we can get there.
All right, there's a lot of different things going on in here, and I'm definitely aware that I may be entering the realm of casual racism, and that's not me. I'm not that person.
No, not at all.
Okay, so that's not where this is coming from. But I have been irked this past week by the number of subway riders in the New York City subway system who are wearing face masks.
Right, because now, of the recent coronavirus scare.
Which has barely had any effort in New York.
True. It's in New Jersey, but nothing reported in New York just yet.
Yeah, every disease is in New Jersey. I mean, no offense to New Jersey. Kind of offense to New Jersey. But the point is that these face mask wearers are almost exclusively Asian.
Okay. Again, I think a cultural thing, but go on.
Now, my issue is the fact that, you know, is it that they're too good to breathe the same air I'm breathing?
No, I don't think it's that. And interestingly enough, I actually read, I want to say it was someone on Twitter who is of Asian descent and kind of commenting on this. And apparently the mindset is, well, yes, it is a layer of protection from infectious diseases that may be out there. It's also a case of these individuals wanting to protect other people in case they themselves have this disease and aren't aware of it. Because remember, it's got an incubation period of about 2 weeks where you can have the disease and not actually know that you have it.
So you're saying they're trying to protect me?
I'm saying it's not. You know, I think it's a mix. I think they want to protect themselves, but I think there is also a level of consideration for people around them as well to make sure that if they are sick, that they're not contaminating the general public.
Now I do feel like I was casually racist.
I mean, a smidge. A smidge. Not enough to get on This Week in Racism, but enough where we'd be like, Brian. But I get it. I get what you're saying. I could see where your offense would come from.
It's something that's been bothering me. It seems like every day this week, Monday through Friday, there were more and more people, particularly Asians, that were wearing face masks on the subway, on the morning commute, and on the evening commute. And it made me feel a certain way. It made me feel like the air I was breathing was dirtier than what they would accept for their own bodies.
Now, have you had any experiences lately where you've shook somebody's hand and then they immediately put hand sanitizer on?
No.
Because that you can be offended over. That, I think, I've seen people do that, and that seems offensive to me.
That actually is offensive. But I've tried to stick to the fist pump.
The fist pump's always good. Or the arm smash against each other is also good, too.
I like to do that when I'm rounding third and after hitting a home run, and I like to do the forearm smash with the third base coach.
Have you ever had an instance where you've leaned in to lick the side of someone's face and they pull away? Because I find that rude when I do it.
Are you the one pulling your face away?
No, I'm the one going into,
your coworkers.
I think, for me, it's kind of, maybe it's a cultural thing. I like to just run my tongue up the side of somebody's face when I meet them.
Now, my question to you is, you're not afraid of licking women's makeup up.
You know what? If it's a good quality makeup, it shouldn't make a difference. And that's on them, not on me.
Do you kind of dry off the saliva off your tongue, or do you kind of like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going in for a wet lick. Just a run. I think you can really get to know someone based on their taste.
And then we wonder why we were never invited back to the Vatican.
It's a good point. You might have something there.
I mean, when you lick the Pope, I thought that it was a sign of affection, but now, in hindsight, I'm thinking that might have been a bad call.
He was very dusty. I'm not going to lie.
So dusty. So dusty.
So my beef this week, Brian, is with my back. Yeah. So
physical. What happened here?
As you know, I was up in lovely Syracuse, New York for work this week and had a little bit of a snowstorm overnight. So we had a lot of snow to clear off the car before we could get on the road on Friday. And I didn't exert a lot of effort, but apparently there was some twisting motion that I did that just completely wrenched my lower back. And now I'm I can sit here and do this podcast and it's fine. But if I stand up, I have to do that old person lean forward, because if I can't, I literally can't stand straight up.
No.
And bending and walking up and down stairs is very painful. And I know it's something that happens as you get older, but it just really kind of sucks.
But you're a young man in his mid-20s.
That's what we keep telling the people. But my back feels much, much older than I actually am.
Ah, geez, I'm sorry to hear that.
It happens. I will. I'll get through it. A little Bengay, a little heat, a little crack. Really, I think we'll take the edge off.
I always knew Ben was gay.
So let's see. What do we have to talk about this week? It's been a rather uneventful week. But of course, beginning of the week brought us the State of the Union address. Did you watch the State of the Union?
Could not watch any of it.
Agreed. Had no need to watch it. And based on the recap I saw, I didn't miss much.
Yeah. The impeachment testimony that never happened in the Senate, the battle that's been going on since last fall has now been wrapped up. It felt like it was going to be Trump on a victory lap, and I had zero interest in exposing my ears or my eyes or my brain to anything along those lines.
Now, you had asked me, and I can indulge you if you would like, you had asked me my thoughts on the State of the Union. Not the address, but the actual, what is our State of the Union? And I had taken the time to jot down some thoughts. Are you still interested in hearing my take on it?
Absolutely. I think, it's one of the highlights of my year is when you take a step back from the day-to-day, look at America at a macro level, and provide us with your particularly entertaining yet insightful views on what's going on in this country.
Well, I think what we're seeing is an absolute mess on both sides of the aisle, And I don't think that comes as any surprise to anybody who follows our country right now. But as far as the GOP goes, they are no longer interested in defending the Constitution. They're more concerned with defiling it. They aren't interested in the rule of law. They're just interested in ruling. This past week, we've seen GOP senator after GOP senator admit that Trump did something wrong while quickly following up by saying that they are going to vote to acquit him. Many have said that they are confident that Trump has learned his lesson from this and won't do it again. However, that has never been the case at any point in his life. He will only become more emboldened by an acquittal and will get worse, not better. We're already seeing that with his responses to Mitt Romney and his removal of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman and his twin brother from the National Security Council. He and his family have profited from his presidency more than anything we have seen in our country's history. He has ignored rules and laws and ethics more than any administration in history. His trade policies have bankrupted farms and families. He continuously looks to find ways to strip benefits from those who need them most. His tax plan has widened the gaps between the haves and the have-nots, raised the deficit to its highest level ever, locked children in cages, cozied up to despots and dictators, embarrassed us on the world stage, removed the separation between church and state, emboldened racists in the United States and around the world, demeaned any media outlet that dare challenge him, and weaponized the DOJ against his enemies. Despite all of this, he still retains the support of most of the GOP. Unfortunately, there's little doubt in my mind that the Democrats would act any differently if Trump was a member of their party. The goal of politics today is to gain control and never let go of it. The Democrats struggle to take control because of the level of dysfunction in their party. Say what you will about the GOP, but they managed to present a unified front. Tulsi is suing Hillary because she doesn't like what Hillary said about her. Hillary doesn't like Bernie because of what he said about her. Rashid Tlaib led a crowd in booing Hillary because Hillary doesn't like Bernie. The GOP are the psychotic adults at the table, while the Democrats busy themselves with the kind of childish bickering that the rest of us outgrew after middle school. What we saw from the Iowa caucuses this week reflects the exact state of the Democratic Party, an absolute shit show run by people that learned nothing from the lessons of the 2016 election. We are 9 months away from the most important election in our nation's history. That level of hyperbole has been used in the past, but I truly believe that's what we're facing in 2020. The future of our nation is at stake, the soul of our nation is at stake, and the humanity of our nation is at stake. We all need to find a comfort level with the fact that whomever wins the White House this election is not going to be the most qualified person for the job. We are nowhere close at this point to get our politics back to that level. What we do need to do is to make sure we don't leave the most deranged person ever to have this job to keep it. Let's stem the bleeding first and then work on repairing the major wounds in the coming years. That's my take on the State of the Union, Brian.
God, that's depressing.
As I wrote it, I was like, should I try and make it a little bit more upbeat? And then I was like, no. I don't know that there's a ton to be upbeat about right now.
If that is genuinely the way you feel about the country right now, I think that's what you have to say. I think what was where I mean, obviously, you're the smartest person that I interact with. But the part that I think you really nailed was in saying that the Democrats are cannibalizing themselves, and it is making the general election seem, even more and more remote as a possibility of this nation seeing a Democrat winning the White House in 2020. This is, at this point, I think Trump's on a victory lap, and we're going to have 4 years of literally unhinged Trump. I think, the fact that he is, he realizes now that he can't be stopped. That Congress is not going to act as a check on him, that ultimately as long as he controls the Senate, meaning the Republican Party, because let's face it, Trump is the Republican Party at this point. I genuinely see 4 years from now that man arguing that he should be reelected to a third term.
I mean, there was a few people. There was an op-ed in the Washington Post this week. Bill Maher commented on his show this week that, it was probably one of the best weeks of the Trump presidency. You know, he gets acquitted in the impeachment. The Democrats have the debacle at the Iowa caucuses. An extremely good jobs report comes out. The first step in a trade deal with China is signed. So, yeah, I mean, and he's at 49% approval rating. He currently has the highest approval rating of his presidency so far. So, as we continuously say, the Democrats will screw this up. And I think, you know, in looking at the debate last night in New Hampshire, don't know that there was anything I saw that dissuaded me from thinking that.
You know what? I'm even going to take it a step further and say not only is it the fact that the Democrats are going to screw this up, but what we also saw this past week and maybe week and a half or so is literally the refusal of Republican congressmen, senators, state senator, like literally across the board in their sheepish fear to even criticize him.
But the one person you have to give credit to is Mitt Romney. Surprisingly enough, a man whose faith means so much to him that his faith led him to vote his conscience knowing the repercussions he will face from it.
The fact that the Trump defense, his defense team, threw out there the argument that if the president commits a crime or commits a crime or any type of ethics violation while believing that it is in the nation's best interest, then there is no way that you can hold him accountable or subject him to any punishment. The fact that they argued, I think it was Dershowitz that argued in the Senate hearing, that Trump felt that obtaining dirt on Joe Biden was in the nation's interest for the upcoming election, and therefore what Trump did was perfectly legal.
Right.
And the fact that he said this and the 53 Republican senators all sat there with the exception of Romney, sat there with their lips shut, nodding their head, saying, okay, well, we're just going to let that slide because he's our president. I literally cannot put into words my disdain for the Republicans. I mean, the whole impeachment hearing, it wasn't a hearing. They didn't take testimony from anyone. The House team gave their speech. The Trump team gave their speech, and then everyone voted. There were no, this wasn't a hearing. This wasn't any type of trial or whatnot. This literally was, I'm going to give a speech and then we're going to vote along party lines. It literally was a sham.
Yeah. I mean, you have no real evidence other than what was presented by the House. And yeah, to your point, no witnesses whatsoever. Yeah. So
I think the terrorists in Guantanamo Bay are getting more open hearings than what we just saw in the Senate.
And what's amazing as well is after all this goes down this past week, Eric Trump happened to be hired as a director on the board of a Russian copper company based in Siberia.
No.
I shit you not.
Is that a joke? Tell me that's not true.
This is what is being reported on a few different news outlets. It also, coincidentally enough, happens to be the same copper company that just a few months ago made a bulk purchase of 70,000 copies of Donald Trump Jr.'s new book, Triggered.
I give up. Yeah, no, I literally, it's out of the hypocrisy is just out of control and it's going to go unchecked.
Yeah.
It's going to fucking go unchecked.
So,
oh my God, I literally am speechless that what they just wanted to do an investigation on for Hunter Biden in Ukraine, literally the same week they're going to do in Russia. Ah, fuck them. I swear to God.
It's something crazy. But again, you know, the Democrats have shown in Iowa that they can't even count votes properly. You know, I don't know that we still have, I think the AP has refused to officially announce a winner in Iowa because even though 100% of the votes have been counted, they're questioning the validity of some of the counting. So at the moment, it looks like Bernie got the majority of the votes and the delegates with Pete Buttigieg finishing second. But I don't know that that's, I don't know if it's ever going to be official. I don't know how you handle this situation in Iowa right now.
What is a caucus?
I'm still not 100% sure what a caucus is.
I know for a fact 4 years ago during the 2016 campaign, you and I sat during the podcast, and I remember asking you what a caucus was in terms of how it differs from a primary. Now, I know a primary is really based on the popular vote. The candidate who gets the most votes wins the delegates for that state. There is a system that a minority of the states use. It's called a caucus. And I do not have a firm grasp. And I understand your frustration. I can even see the look on your face right now. Brian, I cannot believe that I'm going to have to explain this to you again, you simpleton. But I don't understand how caucuses work.
So your state either has a caucus or a primary. So the main difference is that, you know, your primary elections are run by state and local governments, whereas caucuses are private events that are directly run by the political parties themselves. So that's why it's not a case of like all these people go to the voting booths and place votes. Like it's an event, and you know, people go and they can, and that's why it's called caucusing, because it's not, you know, you're not going to vote, you're going trying to bring in all the people attending the caucus to, you know, support your candidate. Because that's why, okay, apparently, even in a caucus, you know, after, that's why if you look at tallies for caucuses, there's a first round and then there's a final round. Because they will do a first round of vote counting for people. And then if you're, I think how it works is if your candidate receives less than 1% of the vote in the first round, then those delegates can change and go to another candidate in the final round. So, like, I know, like, all of the, I think in Iowa, everybody who had caucused for Andrew Yang, you know, when he came in below the 1% mark, you know, or maybe it's higher than 1%. I forget what the total is, but if you don't finish in a certain amount of votes, then those votes can go to another candidate if you want. So a lot of the Yang, I think about 7,000 of the Yang votes actually moved over to Bernie Sanders in the final round of voting.
When I was in college once, I caucused for Yang. ended up in the ER, was not able to sit for about 5 days while the stitches were taking. So,
and again, and I still don't understand the difference between the popular vote and the state delegates. I mean, I guess, again, I think it depends on the different counties, because at 100% of the vote, Bernie Sanders finished with a little over 45,800 votes, about 2,600 ahead of Pete Buttigieg. But Buttigieg ends up with 26.2% of the state delegates versus Bernie getting 26.1%.
Yeah, okay. But I don't, I know you just described it to me, and I'm sure that in your mind it makes sense. But what I'm visualizing is people meeting up like in a library. And they kind of just like sit in like the four bunches, one for each candidate.
I mean,
and then they count, and then they just and then they just count again.
You're not wrong. You literally have, you know, if you saw some of this on the news, there were literally auditoriums where people were sitting in bleachers based on who they wanted to vote for, and then after the first round, if they wanted to change their vote, they could get up and they could move to another bleacher to show that they were now supporting that candidate. If there was a tie, there was coin flips to settle ties in certain areas. I mean, it's not surprising that the whole process got fucked up.
Yeah, it just seems so amateurish. It seems something that it feels like something you would do in the fourth grade when voting for you know, class president.
I think it'll be very surprising if Iowa, because again, Iowa always prides itself on being the first primary caucus in the U.S. leading up to the whole election process. If you look at it from the Democratic side, the person to win Iowa in the last 11 caucuses went on to be the candidate and win the presidency the last 7 times. So, I mean, it carries a lot of weight to win Iowa. But mm-hmm. now that you can't even really say who won it, Will it be the same in 2 or 4 years when they do it again?
I think the fact that we know it was you can clearly see that Sanders and Mayor Pete walked away from Iowa with their head up high.
And I think
they have momentum going into New Hampshire. The fact that Elizabeth Warren, and to me, and maybe not so much to you, for me to see that Joe Biden finished fourth was a real eye opener. It was really surprising. I do understand that Biden does not necessarily resonate well in the Midwest, but I really thought that he was going to have a better showing.
And I agree. I think for me, 3 surprises, I think, is how well Mayor Pete did, how poorly Joe Biden did, but also how well Amy Klobuchar did. I mean, you know, I think it was a very surprising fifth place finish, and she finished ahead of Joe Biden in a number of counties in Iowa. So that to me was very surprising. Your girl Tulsi, not great. Started off with 334 votes in the first round, which then dropped to 17 in the second round.
Now, does that mean 17 people in the entire state stood steadfast and said, "My vote's for Tulsi"?
Correct.
Why are the Democrats so afraid of Hillary? Why are they so afraid? Obviously, I know the answer is that she kills people,
right,
and that Jeffrey Epstein maybe did not kill himself. But goddamn, it's like the woman is speaking truth.
And now
she's speaking truth, Ron.
Now early polling for New Hampshire has Mayor Pete and Bernie as the two favored, with Elizabeth Warren in third. You know, again, if Joe Biden, I think what Joe Biden is really trying to do is trying to hang in there till South Carolina, because he's a 20-point favorite in South Carolina with that primary coming up in 2 weeks. So, you know, the question is, you know, is he convincing enough voters in other states to stay with him? You know, will South Carolina give his candidacy a boost, or is he just going to be in there, you know, spending money and not doing anything?
Well, what I think Biden's selling point, I saw him on the news a couple times this week, he is really selling the electability angle on himself.
No question.
He's taking the stance of Buttigieg, not electable. Bernie Sanders, not electable. Elizabeth Warren, not electable. If you want to put up a candidate that has a shot at beating Trump, vote for Joe Biden. He's the only candidate that has a chance at winning, which when you really think about it is not the biggest selling point for a political candidate.
No.
Hey, I'm the only one that has a chance of us, of this group here.
And his competition isn't going to get any easier. You know, after the results of the Iowa caucus, Mayor Bloomberg, you know, significantly increased his ad buy, doubled the size of his staff from 1,000 to 2,000 people to show that he's in it for the long run. After last night's debate, Amy Klobuchar raised $2 million overnight for her campaign.
Really?
One of the largest fundraising hauls in a 24-hour period that she's seen in her entire candidacy. So,
were you aware that there was going to be a debate last night?
I was aware, yes. I knew that there was a debate leading up to New Hampshire.
I was not aware of that. When is New Hampshire? Next week?
Next week, yes. I want to say on Monday or Tuesday.
Do you know when the next debate is? Because I feel like I should pay attention and watch the next
one. I don't know offhand. We'll have to do that. Maybe we haven't live tweeted a debate in a while. So maybe we'll work on doing that for the next one.
And I'll just ask one more and then let's move on.
Sure.
Because I feel like I'm just quizzing you nonstop like you are this wise sage. What is the likelihood for Bloomberg to really start to participate in the Democratic process, I guess is the word I'm really thinking of. You know, he wasn't part of any of the debates to date. He was not even on the ballot in Iowa. I don't think he's on the ballot for consideration for New Hampshire. You know, he says he's running for presidency, but right now it feels like he's a third party candidate.
Well, he's on the ballot, but he hasn't really gotten much traction, and he hasn't qualified for any of the debates lately. I mean, he actually beat your girl Tulsi by three votes in Iowa, getting 20 votes. And he will be a candidate to be selected in New Hampshire, but I believe he was only polling around 1% in New Hampshire. So he's finding a lot of difficulty gaining traction. And you would think his, you know, Iowa notwithstanding, you would think he'd have some opportunity in New Hampshire, you know, being a northern state, being one that can kind of, you know, maybe lean blue at times. But he's got a real uphill battle. But he does have a potential now that they've started to loosen up the debate rules a bit, because they had tightened them when there was like 20 or 21 people. Now that they have loosened the rules, they've basically rolled out new rules. And here it is. The next debate is going to be February 19th in Las Vegas. So you can either meet a delegate threshold or a polling threshold to qualify for that. So he has a few different options. But you know, he possibly, you know, could skip some primaries and focus on Super Tuesday. So there's a lot to say, you know, a lot to see what happens in the next few weeks. I don't know, again, I just don't know that he's going to get the amount of traction that would get him to the convention.
He probably has the best chance of beating Trump. You know, Trump's whole argument is, I'm an incredible businessman. I negotiate great deals. I don't think Klobuchar can even respond to that. Andrew Yang is going to sit there and say, I'm going to give everybody $1,000, but let's pretend that inflation won't go up accordingly. Buttigieg, mayor of a small town. Bernie, seemingly out of touch boomer. Who am I leaving out? Elizabeth Warren got the electability question. If there's a candidate out there that can beat Trump, to me, it is not Biden, but it's Bloomberg.
And Bloomberg is still polling below Tom Steyer, you know, another billionaire that got himself into the race. So, you know, are people on the left just gun shy about getting another billionaire in a place, you know, who isn't really going to represent the values of their party?
Well, unfortunately, they're going to need to, because the values of their party have jumped so far left that I feel they are out of touch with the moderate middle.
Well, let's put politics to the side and let's discuss the really big news of the past week, the Super Bowl.
Woo!
And of course, more importantly, our Super Bowl prop bets that you and I went up against each other in. So we both correctly picked the winner of the game. We both took Kansas City, giving a point and a half. Wasn't even that close. Kansas City winning by 11. But that was one of few that I was able to hit. I mean, you pretty much ran the table. You picked the over-under. You picked the under, which came in at 51 against an over-under of 54.5. You correctly predicted Mahomes as the MVP. You picked tails as the coin toss. You picked the under for the national anthem at 122.5 seconds, a little over 2 minutes. Came in at a minute 52, not even close. You nailed that one.
My girl Demi has never disappointed me. Even when she was hitting the spoon, never disappointed me.
You know, I knew
that she had greatness in her.
Yes, you hit Trump tweeting during the game. You said yes. You said no. A-Rod won't be shown. So the only ones you really missed. You also hit no players getting arrested after the game. So the only ones you missed were the Gatorade color. You said blue. It was orange. You missed the first TD score. You said it was going to be a 49ers running back. It ended up being Mahomes. And you said for a scoring drive taking less time than the national anthem, you said no. But that actually happened on the last scoring drive when the Chiefs scored a touchdown in 13 seconds. But otherwise, you ran the table. So as we had bet $100 going to charity, I received your message earlier this week through the Shadow app, where you said, Ron, send that $100 to a charity near and dear to my heart, the North American Man Boy Love Association. I thought maybe it was a misstep on your part, but you were very adamant. You kept sending me messages through this app. And it was weird because you kept misspelling your name, but I didn't think anything of it. But regardless, you know, you are a boy lover, and $100 in your name has gone to NAMBLA. So congratulations to you.
I'm not sure that was messages coming from me. I believe.
Listen, I understand the votes may not have been correct in the Shadow app. Are you saying now that someone may have hacked it and sent inappropriate messages to me posing as you?
What I'm saying is, do you remember using the WhatsApp app on your phone recently and clicking on a video link in one of your chats with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, he sent me some cat videos. It was very unlike him, but I appreciated it. Wait a minute. Did I get Jeff Bezos'd?
I think you got Bezos'd.
Son of a bitch.
I'm going to tell you something. I do believe that the North American Manboy Love Association is no longer operating as a known entity. I think they've been driven underground due to, I don't know. I think there's a stigma that was attached to that group in the 80s.
Well, that's $100 really I'm not getting to recover back. From. Well, I guess then, so you don't love boys is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is I prefer girls.
Okay. So where would you like me to send that $100 to charity?
I think what we should do is I think we should put it up to the Facebook listeners.
Okay.
I think I'm going to I will create a poll. I will put up two or three different options and and let the people vote.
It's a lot of polls we have going up this week.
Listen, if you keep talking about the North American Manboy Love Association, you're going to get another poll coming up.
Hey-o.
Hi-o.
All right. Well, congratulations. Any thoughts on today's kickoff?
Actually, no. You know what? I just thought about it. I would like it to go to some type of animal charity.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
What about the animals that were hurt in Australia?
I'm sure there's probably something, so we can take a look for that. So
there you go. The American Red Cross.
The Red Cross is helping the Australian animals?
No, they're always helpful, and I believe they take a nice chunk for administrative costs.
They certainly do with that.
Those bastards.
So your thoughts, we are, just speaking of football, we are on kickoff weekend of the XFL. How are you feeling about the new league?
Are they starting tomorrow?
They're actually starting today. Got the Dragons facing the Defenders right now.
I had no idea that there was that they had started. What channel are they on? TV or
on
cable?
They're like, on ABC.
Get out of here!
Yeah, they got a whole network deal and everything.
I am shocked.
So Seattle is facing DC right now. I believe there's another game later today and then two games tomorrow.
Are we going to be supporting this league or are we going to be acting as if it doesn't exist?
I feel competition is always good. I would hate to see Vince McMahon lose a lot of money, although he is projecting that he's going to lose $350 to $400 million on the league over the next 3 years.
I read this week that the stock of the WWE is fell by about a 40% this week.
It did actually drop because they let go of two executives. But I will tell you this, now is a great time to buy WWE stock.
Because it took a hit?
Because it took a hit and it's just going to go back up. The WWE is going to continue to make money. Regardless of who runs it on its leadership, they've got TV contracts, they've got merchandise sales, they've got their own streaming network. They've got a lot of marketing partnerships. I think you grab that stock, and I think you see it bounce back over the next 6 months to a year.
My fear with the WWE, and this is just speaking off the cuff, unprepared. Is that they really have not had the distribution deal in the Middle East that I think we were all kind of banking on them being able to deliver. Saudi Arabia was going to be one of their marquee locations that was going to really push them forward. Unfortunately, they've not been able to hammer out the an agreement to show WWE in Saudi Arabia, and I think that that's making me put their stock as
I assume that's sarcasm.
What do you mean?
Well, they'll be back in Saudi Arabia once again for a Super Showdown card.
Oh, I thought they weren't going. I thought that they did not have the television distribution there.
I'm not sure about the whatchamacallit, TV distribution, but they are definitely going to be back in Saudi Arabia.
Now, will they be letting women wrestle over there?
They do let or do women. The divas they stay do let home? Women wrestle. However, the outfits that the women wear while they wrestle is a little bit different than what we have here in the States. But yeah,
do they wrestle in burkas?
Almost. So yes, February 27th at King Fahd International Stadium in Saudi Arabia.
Mm. Yeah, after they did that Khashoggi shit, I cannot support Saudi Arabia.
Well, and there have been a number of wrestlers that did not go on the previous Saudi Arabia trip. I know John Cena doesn't want to perform in Saudi Arabia anymore. A few other ones were left. But, you know, if you have a lot of people that are under contract, they got to do what the boss tells them.
Yes, the last time I was there, I had some bad tahini, and I will not be returning.
So before we get off the subject of the Super Bowl, thoughts on the commercials for this past year?
I didn't find them particularly remarkable. I will admit not paying as much attention as I had in previous years, but even the day after, it did not feel there was anything really trailblazing.
Yeah, I think there were more bad ones than good ones. Would you like to guess what the top-rated ad meter was for USA Today as far as Super Bowl commercials?
Of course. Was it Baby Mr. Peanut?
I guess maybe not surprisingly, no. Let me see where that one came in. That one came in at 23rd. I think a lot of people 23rd. Showed. 23rd? I think people saw through it in that it was just kind of trying to rip off Baby Yoda. And I think people are okay. Like, yeah. The number one was the Bill Murray Groundhog Day commercial for Jeep.
I remember that. I didn't think it was that great. I mean, I remember chuckling, but that was the number one commercial.
That was number one, the Hyundai okay. Smart Park commercial with John Krasinski, Rachel Dratch, and Chris whatever, Captain America there.
Myers.
Came in second.
Okay.
The Google commercial with Loretta, the old man trying to remember his deceased wife using his Google assistant, that came in third. The Doritos Cool Ranch with Lil Nas X and Sam Elliott came in fourth. And then the Rocket Mortgage commercial with Jason Momoa came in fifth.
You know what? There. Jason Momoa, I thought, was the best commercial.
That was a good one. The one that people liked least, the one that came in last, came in 62nd, the Donald Trump campaign criminal justice reform commercial.
I did not see that.
People hated it. And also, it's the lowest viewed one on YouTube so far.
Well, YouTube, we know, is a bastion for liberalism and socialism.
Yes,
so I don't expect... That is not the mode to get the truth out.
So also this week, many reports of celebrities revealing that they have cancer. First one was, I guess, did Rush come out first or did Shannon Doherty come out first?
Rush came out. Shannon showed up the next day. This was, Ron, a great week for cancer. Earlier, I believe it was on Monday, possibly Tuesday, depending on your time zone, where you live. Rush Limbaugh steps out as a stage 4 lung cancer patient, announcing on his radio show that there is going to be some upcoming time where he is not going to be able to do his regular broadcast. His listeners immediately rushing to show, get it, rushing, rushing to show their support. And not only that, and this is where I felt it was incredible, was that during the State of the Union, Melania is announced, and she gives the National Medal of Freedom for heroism to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, that...
what an offensive piece of shit move that was.
Basically. I mean, and I'm not saying that we're the kind of people that are going to root for cancer at any point, but, you know, it certainly feels very poetic that Rush has come down with some significant illness, especially lung cancer, considering how many years he... stated that there was no conclusive proof that nicotine was addictive. He said there were no links to cigarettes causing emphysema, lung cancer, or heart disease. I mean, he just constantly put down all of the science that backed that. and then he ends up getting lung cancer. It feels poetic to me.
I genuinely hope he dies, because it will, in this instance, be well deserved.
And then, you know, you also remember him making fun of Michael J. Fox having Parkinson's disease.
You posted something on, I believe it was Twitter. It could have been our Facebook page, where it was just a list of quotes from Rush Limbaugh over the years of, outrageously offensive things that he said to, promote, whatever agenda it is that he, supports. And I gotta say, you know, if there is such a thing as karma that exists in this world, Limby, as his friends like to call him, he's experiencing it right now.
The flip side, though, we were very sad to hear about actress Shannon Doherty revealing that she's got stage 4 cancer, breast cancer, 3 years after having previously gone into remission. That one was... You know, because I don't know about you, I was a very big 90210 fan back in the day.
What?
90210 and Melrose Place. Those were my shows back in the college days.
You genuinely watched them?
Oh yeah, yeah. My whole little dorm room watched them.
Oh my God!
How could you not? Shannon Doherty, Tori Amos,
Spelling,
Jenny Garth.
Hot.
Gabriella Carteris,
hot.
Luke Perry, Ian Ziering,
Ted.
Who else? Brendan Walsh. Who was that? The actor.
The Peach Pit.
Anyway,
Jason Priestley.
Yes, just Check a great me out show.
With the not.
And then you roll. And then you would roll right into Melrose Place with Heather Locklear and et al.
I don't know. I can support you on that one.
I feel that there are a lot of people out there, more people that watched Melrose Place and 90210 back in the day, that, you know, don't admit that as I proudly do.
A lot of white people, but wasn't Shannon Doherty a major bitch?
It was always alleged that she created a lot of issues on set, and that's why she was eventually kind of written out of the show. But, you know, you can never tell, Brian. You weren't there.
And I'm not saying that she deserves stage 4 cancer. Nobody, well, Rush Limbaugh does. But nobody deserves to die of cancer. It's just an awful, awful disease. Rush, you know, I'm just glad that Rush has it.
Wasn't a fan of Charmed, though. Can't say I ever watched that.
Can't say I ever watched it either. I would say that I have successfully lived a life where the WB network and myself never crossed paths.
I think we both have to agree, Shannon Doherty probably had one of the hotter celebrity Playboy spreads of all time.
Yes, I haven't seen that in years.
It's been a long time.
Is that on the internet, do you think?
What isn't on the internet? It has to be on the internet. It's celebrity nudity. It has to be available somewhere.
Would that be found on magazinescans.com?
If not, probably Mr. Skin has it. You can always find good celebrity nudity on Mr. Skin.
Wait a second, Mr. Skin is still a thing?
Oh yeah. I don't think it's as big as it used to be, because of the proliferation of free porn out there.
Internet pornography, yeah.
Speaking of that, we forgot to mention about the halftime show with Shakira and J-Lo at the Super Bowl, and how Pornhub search results went through the roof for both of those ladies. J-Lo went up 381%, while Shakira went up 1,401%.
So Shakira, I mean, she pretty much won the... She won the Super Bowl halftime.
You have to think that.
Can we agree on that?
I mean, both were fantastic, but I think Shakira just knocked it out of the park.
Now, she's also 10 years younger than J-Lo. Is it a fair fight?
It's a valid question. And then your girl Demi Lovato only was up 270% in Pornhub searches.
She's never done anything sexy, has she?
No, I mean, but it just amazes me that, you know, people could go to Google and, you know, search for these ladies, but there's a large portion of the population that's like, hey, you know what, I'm just going to cut to the chase and go to Pornhub and see if there's anything I can find for them. Or, you know, at the very least, if I can find a porn star that looks like Shakira to spank myself to.
I think we've all been there, no?
Listen, yeah, it's the beauty of technology these days.
I guess so. Yeah, what's the important thing and what's changed during our life is that there's no longer a sense of shame that is attached to
no,
it.
No, I mean, porn has really, you know, when you think about it, you used to have to hide your VHS tapes or your magazines, yep, or what have you. Now people will literally just watch it on their smartphone on the subway.
Why did you look directly at me when you said that? Why would you? What are you?
I know you ride the subway, so I'm just assuming maybe you've seen other people doing that.
It's hard to see other people when your face is covered in a coronavirus mask. So I feel like I'm in a safe space at that moment.
All right. Well, I don't think we have anything else, really. I think we covered everything for this episode. As always, we encourage you to go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. That'll link you to our Facebook and Twitter pages for our Drink of the Week and This Week in Racism polls. If you go into the upper right corner, it's the link for our Patreon. If you want to subscribe monthly, you'll get some fantastic swag as well as awesome additional content, which we will be recording right after this episode. You can tell from our listeners that have signed up on it, they find the value and they don't get angry at all when they have to wait a couple days for it. They're all very reasonable, decent, God-fearing people. All right. Well, I don't have anything else this week. Brian, anything on your end?
I'm good. Can't wait for our first Tavor drink of the week.
All right, let's see what we put up against each other.